Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. Go ahead and get your Bibles out if you would. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Like I said, doing things a little bit different tonight. I want to encourage you to make sure you pick up a prayer sheet if you didn't get one when you come in. And we give those out every Wednesday night so you know how to pray over the needs one of another. And tonight's election of church officers, and so this is something that we need to take care of. Of course, 2 weeks ago, we did our annual church budget, and that's a business meeting for the church to present a budget to you, and now it is to present the officers and helpers, those that will be helping us to lead the church in the direction God would have us to go and accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish this next year of 2022. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 54 down to verse 58. The Bible says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Well, that's just something just to rejoice over right there. Yeah. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then verse 58. "Therefore," everything that Paul had written to them, especially what we've just read, the death is swallowed up in victory. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," that's believers, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." With the life we have before death, that's exactly what God would have us to do as believers: be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and it's a blessing every time we have opportunity to be in church, whether it's a business meeting or whatever it might be, but as we assemble together as your church and be an encouragement one to another, and as we just looked into the verses that we looked into, what a blessing just by reading these verses. And I pray tonight, God, that as we have assembled, that you would once again meet with us. I pray, God, for all those special needs that we have on our prayer sheets, and God, that you would work in each and every one of those needs, and pray that as they look to you, that they would find the help, the grace to help in their time of need, and pray that you would just work as only you can work in each one of their lives. And then, Father, as we are looking to this service, as we'll be having elections and be voting and be presenting these positions that we have, I pray that you'd help us all to understand just how you have us designed your church and the positions and how you want to work through each and every one. So I pray that you would just empower the teaching and the preaching and empower the service here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Knowing that there is life beyond the grave. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Paul is presenting here. This life that we live now is temporal at best. It just, God determines the length of time that we have. He determines what opportunities we'll have to accomplish things for the cause of Christ. And based on those opportunities, you're going to find God's rewards and accountability based on the opportunities that God has made available to us, and in every dispensation leading all the way back to when Christ came and established his church, this New Testament church age, for some 2,000 years. And God has had things that he has designed for the church to accomplish, and every one of the generations leading up to this generation. I believe this generation could be the most important of all generations, because this, I believe, is a generation when we are going to experience the rapture of the church. The signs, everything else, prophecy. If you cannot see prophecy unfolding before our very eyes in what we're dealing with today, then you're blinded. You don't understand the scriptures. If you understand the scriptures and you understand where we have to get before the rapture, and because the tribulation is going to follow that, so it's got to come up to the edge of the tribulation, and things have to be in place, as the Bible says, and we see that, all the things taking place. And so knowing that there is life beyond the grave, and there's no sting in death if we have the truth and understand what God has given to us. But then he says, therefore, with all that, being mindful of that. And he's talking to believers. He's talking to us. So being mindful of all that, then he says, therefore. Meaning we must continue to serve God and always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's nothing more important going on today than the work that God has given to the church. Because it's what people need to understand once life is over. So we need to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord for the last 2,000 years has been carried out through the vehicle that Jesus Christ established, and that is his church. It's his church. And so everything else, the Holy Spirit of God working in the lives of people, God's going to work to answer prayer, no doubt about that. But even through answering prayer, he's going to lead people to his church. And the church has to stand for what God wants us to stand for. The church has to be what God established the church to be. It's got to be the light. It's got to have the salt. It can't lose its savor. So when people come to the church as being led by the Holy Spirit of God, that they're going to be able to receive what they have need of because God works through his church. The world is going to hear and have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ because of his church. The vehicle that Jesus Christ established for him to work through is his church. It's so very important that we understand that. That's why you're here tonight. You understand is the importance of Christ's church, and you're assembling yourself together with the church and not forsaking that. And so much the more, as we see the day approaching, it means it's even more, it gets more and more important. I've often said, and just teasing, but it might be reality at some point, we might have to go to 2 midweek services. Because people can't stand to stay away from the church. They're going to need more food. They're going to be needing more encouragement. Amen? And we get encouragement through the assembling of ourselves together. And Sunday's not enough. Praise the Lord for Sunday, but we have established Wednesday, and it might be that we need to go to even another. Who knows? But so much the more. It's even more important. So we do things through the church. If we're going to be steadfast, brethren, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, have to be connected to his church, because that's what Jesus established as the vehicle that has been designed for him to work through. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, just a couple chapters back, this is part of what Paul presented to them when he said, therefore, it's not only that life is short, But he also established the responsibility and the design of Christ's church. In chapter 12 and verse 12 down to verse 18 reveals the membership of the church and how the membership has every member in the church as part of the body and has a purpose in that body. For as the body is one and hath many members. Okay, and of course we understand this to know every local New Testament church, this church here is a body, and we have many members in this body, and then collectively we have many churches that are of the same body in Christ around the world. We have churches like this. This is Bible believing, Bible preaching. Churches like this were in the body, and all of us together make up the body of Christ. But he says here, being made many are one body, also is Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, wherefore, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, all the different ones, when you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you become part of the body of Christ as far as a family of God, and then that Spirit leads you to that individual church. But he says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? ? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? ? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Now every local body has a representation, has a purpose. Christ has a purpose for every one of his churches in every area around the world. And he has a purpose for every church in the body of that church. But now hath God set the members, that's each one of us, every one of them, every born-again believer, God's going to put you in a church where he wants you to be as it hath pleased him. So, first thing to realize, even before we get into the election of officers, that we all are planted in the church by the Holy Spirit to be members of this body. It's important for us to know that. God led me, planted me. This is the body that I'm a part of. And because God put me here, then I have a function in this body. Don't have to have pastor position or deacon position or trustee position to realize that you have a function in this church. God has you here for a purpose. And there is a purpose for every part of the body, a function for every part of the body. Every member needs to know that. One of the things that I do before I present any membership to the church family is ask them, do you know this is where God led you to become part of this local called out assembly? You have to know it's God who led you here. It's God who planted you here. And that's a confidence that you need to know. As a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, that God has planted me here to please him, and I'm part of this local called out assembly. You have a position as a member. A member in the body of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. In order for the body to function, we all have to function according to God's purpose for planting us in this church. You have gifts, first and foremost, to be used to serve God with. Chapter 12 and verse 20. But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. Now, I love that. That's presenting the body probably as well as anyone could ever present positions of the body. We look at our own bodies and we think, well, I have this hand, but if my face itches, it's the hand that goes to the face. Yeah. If I have feet and if I need to get the body somewhere else, then I got to rely on the feet to be able to take the body, and the feet have to rely upon the legs, and we can get into all the connections between this bone's connected to that bone, all the but that's what God is telling us right here. That's what the scriptures are telling us here. Whether you're an eye, praise the Lord for being an eye. Don't be upset because you're not a hand. Praise the Lord that you have a function in the body. And if God give you the eye, you're the eye to the body, then serve him as an eye. Serve him as a hand. Serve him as a foot. Even the comely part, serve him. Because you affect the overall well-being of the body. And can I tell you, when I stub my toe, my whole body aches for that toe. It hurts. And my whole body hurts. Amen. When I taste that chocolate eclair, amen, my whole body rejoices. It's just not the taste bud, but my whole body rejoices. And that's what God's helping us to see. And what a job well done in presenting the body, amen, and the importance of every part of the body. And we need to realize that and apply it to our church, because that's what it's all about. In order for the body to function properly, it must be one body. Now, you hear me preach on this quite often, or at least add it in many service messages, because in Ephesians in chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, an eye, a hand, a foot, whatever, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Got to have that unity. If we're always abounding in the work of the Lord, we got to have the unity that God wants the church to have. If we're always abounding, accomplishing, moving forward. We also must esteem God's positions of leadership in the church, and realizing that God puts them in position. And we have to esteem those leadership positions in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. You know these well, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you and in the Lord and admonish you, and is to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. When it comes to decision making, can I tell you, the whole body is led by the brain. Without the brain, the body doesn't function. And you've heard me say, and so too, God designed it, spirit-controlled, mind-controlled body. That's God's order for the body. The brain needs to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, because you're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. God dwells within you. He's going to bear witness with your spirit, and that's going to influence your mind. And when it influences your mind sends all the signals to the body and the tongue and the ear and everything, and you function. There has to be an order and a design to follow the order. We must be faithful once we have acknowledged our part of the body and our function in the body and our faithfulness to that part and function. We must be faithful to assemble as the body. Now, we're not to forsake. We know that in Hebrews, but also in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints, I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there be no gathering. So committed to the body that God's put me in, I'm assembling on a regular basis, but especially on Sunday, to bring in the offerings to keep the storehouse strong. So I give to God through the church that he has planted me in. First of all, my first fruits, and then of my own self as far as the gifts, talents that God has given to me. The church must have God's order. And this is not new, I trust, but it is something that we need to put it all together. And Titus in chapter 1, as they were very concerned about all the churches, and we find here that Paul addressed Titus in verse 5. He says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." There has to be order in my church, and so I'm going to send you, and you're going to establish the order, and you're going to help the church to establish a pastor in the church, which is the idea of the elder there in every city, in every church. But set it in order. Set the church in order based upon God's design of the church. For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibilities. And if you will, again, a chain of authority. Chaos if you don't have authority, if you don't have responsibilities, if people don't know what their part, what is expected of them. It's chaos if you don't have God's design and God's order. So we find that the first thing in the order of the church and the authority of the church is God. Jesus established his church. Jesus is God. And to represent God, it was Christ when he walked on the face of the earth, but he made sure that the word was accomplished, and he gave the instructions for this New Testament church age. And so we find the Bible follows the authority of God. So we have the authority of God represented by this Bible, and we have to be in agreement on the Bible. That's why I think that through the process and the test of time, for the English-speaking people, there's no doubt the King James Version of the Bible is every word that God has established for us as the authority of God. So the Bible, very important that we have an agreement on the authority that we are looking to. So it's to God through his word. And then through his word, the establishment of the church. The church collectively is an authority representing the Bible, which represents Christ, which represents God. And so the church now, the authority or the positions that God has established to follow the lead of Christ. So with the church, we find that we have the pastoral position. That's not the ultimate authority. No, the Bible. God is the ultimate authority. And then we have the Bible. And then we have the church. And the pastor is to lead the congregation to follow Christ as his church. So we find we have the position and the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the positions and the qualification of the pastor. And then in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, we find here that established the overseer, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself where they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Every pastor needs to not only realize his position, but also his responsibilities. Submit yourself where they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we have the pastor position. After the pastor position, we find other positions that God established. First of all, he established the position of a deacon. Now with this, we also have the pastor and the pastor's wife. There's qualifications for both. You have the position of a deacon and deacon's wife. You have the qualifications for both in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But the reason for the deacons is to assist the pastor of the church. Now, we know that because of Acts in chapter 6, first deacons presented, they were to serve tables, and that was helping the pastors or the apostles at that particular time, that was to help them so that they would not be overworked with other types of work and other types of responsibility that a position of a deacon could assist and carry out. But the position of deacon is not to be the head of the pastor or the head of the church. The position of a deacon is to be to assist the pastor in the work that Christ established for the church. And then we find that after that position that God established, there is positions of helps. In Romans in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, it's understood that praise God for all the other helps that we have. Up to this point, no, a woman could not be a pastor, not a biblical pastor. A woman cannot be a biblical deacon. There's no such thing as deaconesses and pastorettes, I guess. But there is pastors' wives and there's deacons' wives. That's what the Bible says. Okay, but in chapter 16, we find here, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, speaking to the church. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, a servant of the church. Praise the Lord for that. That ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. That was her position. She was encouraging and securing, helping, comforting, meeting special needs. And a sister, help her to be able to do that. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That idea of helpers. Praise the Lord for helpers in the church who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, all the New Testament churches. Praise God for the helpers that allow the church to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to move on to the election here, but 1 Peter chapter 5. The most important work that takes place inside of the church. And this has to take place inside of the church to be able for the church to do what God wants us to do on the outside. The church is made up of individuals. As you leave the church and you go out to represent Christ, and you become the light, and you become the salt, and we continue to see souls saved because of the workers, because of the church around the world. So he says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders of the which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder, this is pastors, elders, and bishops, all the same position in the New Testament church, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. Now, praise the Lord for reading the Bible. Praise the Lord for those that are actually able to feed and be encouraged. Praise, you can do that, and we need to do that on top of being fed in the church. But when we come together in the church, we need to be fed. We need to take in so that we can be able to give out. If you fail to take in, you're not going to give out. And if you fail to give out, you can only take in so much. But if you keep giving out, you're going to come back because you say, I need to recharge. No, I'm hungry again. That breakfast meal was only good for a few hours. Now I need lunch. And that lunch meal is only good for a few hours. I need supper. Amen? And that's what he's talking about here. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but for of a ready mind. Neither as being lords. I'm not anybody's lord. I'm not lord of your marriage. I'm not lord of your home. I'm not lord of you. I'm not a lord. We all have the same lord. Your lord is my lord. I in no way do I want to take the place of lordship in your home. That's not the position of a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm an under-shepherd. I am not to take the position of lordship. So neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensemples, living examples to the flock, yes. I've always said, preachers live in glass houses, and if you can't handle it, get out of the ministry. Associates live in glass houses, if you can't handle it, get out of the ministry. Because you are to be an example in every area of your life. People need to see you serving God and as an example for them, especially as a pastor or an associate, and also for a deacon. That's all, that's the qualifications there. Neither being lords of God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and this is one of the reasons we're able to do this, is we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. God is going to reward us for doing our job. Not that we are the only ones getting rewards. Everyone gets a reward for doing your job. Whatever your job is. What you can accomplish through your position. You can receive the same awards, if not greater, if you do your job better than I do my job. A nursery worker, if you do your job, that's what God has you here to do. That's what your talents and gifts. If you do that better than I do, my pastorate position, you're going to have greater rewards. I believe that, really do, because it's based on your opportunities.